And I would go straight to Catherine to take us through the disclosure initiative and paper 11. Thank you.
Thanks, Andreas. Good morning, everybody. So we are back, perhaps a little sooner than anticipated when we last brought this topic to the board. And that is because we would like to talk with you about our exposure draft comment period. So just the one paper for you today, and I'm going to ask one of our recent additions to Team Disclosure to tee that one up for you. So over to you, Stefano.
Thank you, Catherine. Moving on to agenda paper 11. In March 2021, the board published the exposure draft disclosure requirements in IFRS standards, a pilot approach, with a 210-day comment period ending on the 21st of October 2021. The board decided on a 210-day comment period because of the significant new thinking in the exposure draft and the need to undertake extensive and detailed consultation activities to fully understand how that thinking would be applied in practice. Importantly, this includes field work with preparers. However, some stakeholders, including members of the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum, have now told us that they would be unable to finalize their outreach and field work within the current comment letter deadline. In particular, they said more time is needed to ensure adequate coverage of preparers of various sizes and from different industries in the field work, and to complete the field work with enough time to discuss the findings with other stakeholder types. In light of the feedback received and our own experiences during the outreach program so far, we think that extending the comment period would improve the quality of feedback the board receives. Consequently, we recommend that the board extend the comment period to around 290 days, such that it finishes on the 12th of January 2022. I will now direct you to the question on page 5 and ask whether you agree with this recommendation.
Thank you, Stefano. Before we get to the question, I think I would invite board members for any comments, and I already see that we do have a few. Sue, please.
Thanks. Sorry, I can hear myself. Thank you for mute. Sorry, somebody's not muted. People will know from the comments I've made in the past on this topic that I'm very concerned about the length of the comment period on this document. Having said that, we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot and not get the feedback that we want from an important consultation. So because we need the extra time to get the feedback, I'm willing to support the staff recommendation. But I think it's going to be really important that we message to people that this should not be seen as the new normal, because we're often criticized for timeliness. And in our Duke Press handbook, we have standard time periods which are designed to be adequate. So I'm just really keen that we message that this is an exception and it's not the new norm.
Thank you, Sue. Mary, please.
A couple of things, and I think first one consistent with Sue. I think some of the requests are specific to this project and people really coming to grips with what the implications of a change in approach are, more so than the norm of here are some specific proposals. But like Sue, I do fear the, you know, expectations getting out of line. But I also think that it's a lesson that we have to think about in the agenda consultation, because in that context, I think one of the things we're thinking about is capacity. We, you know, selfishly, we often think about our capacity and how much we can do. And I think that this is a message about our stakeholders' capacity, and we can't do standard setting without our stakeholders' input. So I think stakeholders have been stressed partly by COVID, but also by the number of projects that we've had out recently. And so we've got to think about timing and, you know, and sequencing of comment periods. I support this. I accept the staff proposal. I don't want to say support because I think, you know, 300-day comment periods is pretty extreme. But I do want to flag one issue that I don't know if the staff has had any thoughts about. The proposals in the exposure draft, that, you know, the thing we're focused on is the significance of the change in approach. But we also applied that new approach to two specific standards and got a huge investment of time from a number of stakeholders, including a number of users who gave us hours and hours to help us think through what information they really need about IS-19 employee benefits and IFRS-13 fair value measurements. And you know, that was at the heart. Will, as we stretch out the comment period, we delay delivery on, you know, the return on that investment they made in terms of giving us time and input. Have we thought about how we balance that off and whether there's, you know, any communication we should be doing with those?
I'm happy to comment on that, Mary. Thank you. It's a very fair question. You're absolutely right. Stakeholders, and I would say especially investors, gave us a huge amount of time when we were developing the proposals for the two test standards. And I think, you know, as we finished that process with them, we were all very aware that for their time investment to be worthwhile, and indeed to encourage them to support this process again going forward, potentially, they would want to see improved disclosures on IAS 19 and IFRS 13. So you raise a very valid argument to say, you know, should we be getting on with those potential improvements as soon as possible? But we have thought about it. And I would say that my experience from all of the work we've done is that investors, as much as anybody else, were very supportive of the bigger picture on the project. So there's a lot more at stake here than only potential amendments to the two test standards. And for users, that focus on relevant information is, you know, they want that across the notes, that the two test cases are test cases. So in the context of the number of years that we've all been talking about the disclosure problem, I would say that if the extra 3 months we're considering here allows us to get the kind of complete and constructive input that will enable us to move forward in a way that really makes a difference to that disclosure problem, then I feel confident that investors, as much as anyone, would consider that's 3 months well spent. And I think that would be true of all stakeholders. So personally speaking, and I would say consistent with the recent evidence we've heard from some of our stakeholders, as Stefano described, the extension, I think, does make it a lot more likely that we will get that kind of input. And therefore, on that basis, I would anticipate the extension being ultimately good news for all stakeholders, including investors, because of the benefits that 3 months could ultimately lead us to, if that makes sense. So we have thought about it, but we've thought about it and concluded that we still sort of recommend the extension.
Mary, you want to come back?
Thank you, Andreas, because I think, Catherine, building on your comment rather than countering it, I'm about to put out an assumption on my part, so correct it if it's wrong, but I think the bigger picture question about how far do we go in terms of shifting compliance obligation to focus on the objective is not going to change a lot. That's one thing. And I'm going to look at IS 19 as an example. When you looked at the employee benefits standard, and reflected on the feedback we got in the preparatory work, particularly from users about what they cared about, the feedback that people are struggling to give us, you know, the overall picture of will this work, will not affect the kind of directional changes that we were looking for in IS 19. You know, that. It may affect whether we go as far as we proposed in terms of reliance on compliance with the objective, but it will not, I think, it's I haven't heard anything so far that says people think we're focused on the wrong issues, you know, more focus on defined benefits, less long lists of things about items that generally users see as not presenting great risks and therefore they don't want cluttering the employee benefits disclosure. So what we're talking, you know, so I think we maybe want to think about messaging, particularly to the user stakeholder community, with an update on why it's extended and whether this has any negative implications for the specifics they worked with us on. And my assumption is it's more about input on tuning, how much we go down the focus on the objectives route rather than raising fundamental questions about what items are the focal points in the two test standards.
Thanks, Mary. Bruce.
Thanks very much. I kind of echo the earlier comments. I've, as you have known in the past, for those who have been around, I don't like long comment periods to start off with. I really worry about momentum and the message we're giving consistently pushing these out. That being said, the reason I think I could support it in this situation is kind of, if you take a look at this project, it really is a project of two parts, the way I see this. I mean, to start off with, there's a principle. And I think a lot of people have been working through that principle, trying to get their heads around that principle, have now got through that first part of what we put into it. Now that they've done that, a lot of them are saying, great, now that we know that we either like or dislike the principle, there's almost that second leg, which is now, okay, let's do the field testing. And I guess what I understand from my discussions with Catherine is that a lot of people have done that first bit. So they've been through the discussion. They're kind of deciding whether they like or not the approach in that. And now that they've done that, they want to hit into that second stage. But now we're kind of going to hit that timeline. So unique to this situation, I could probably say, because I really can see this being a two-stage project in terms of what people are doing, I think I could support doing that. But I would echo the comments that I made earlier. I would really, really be concerned that people think this is becoming a norm. I mean, to me, and I think we've got to stop using the COVID environment as a reason why people can't do things. We've spoken to people, we've got the outreach, and I've accepted it slowed things down. But when we start getting to 300 days, I mean, there's a point where that's almost complete shutdown. People are managing to work. People are getting things done. And so I'd say I could probably on this project see it, but would strongly, strongly caveat that and mention I would generally be very reluctant to support this kind of an extension. Thank you.
This came through very clearly. Thank you, Bruce. Nick.
Thanks. So yes, like others, I'd like to get back to a more normal length of comment periods, but I am happy to support the staff recommendation in this case, and that's for three reasons. And I don't think the reasons are anything to do with COVID, actually. I think most organisations, and individuals have adapted very well and have learned to cope with COVID. In that respect, it's business as usual. I think the three reasons are, however, firstly, one is of our own making. It's simply the volume of consultation documents that we've published in the last 12 to 18 months has been very significant. There's a real bulge going through the pipeline. Secondly, the proposals that we have in the exposure draft, a lot of it centers around behavioral change. And I think it's not just looking at a set of requirements, saying, comparing what was required before with what's proposed, saying, do I like the delta? It's a whole mindset change. And that takes time for people to actually fully appreciate and understand what that means. And thirdly, there clearly are different views about these proposals, not least amongst our own group. And it would feel, unhelpful to rush the process through, given the behavioural thinking that's needed to make sure we haven't actually done this properly, thoroughly thought through, whichever direction we take. And so I think on that basis, I do feel it's a long time, but I think it's the right thing to do on this occasion. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Tadeo, please.
Thank you, Andreas. I fully agree with Sue's comments, and I believe that we should stick to our normal range of length of comment period. And I believe that for some projects, we are back to normal, as we have decided for some in our meeting yesterday, but we still have the memory of some of our decisions during the first year of the pandemic and some of these projects we are still in our comment period. And then sees that it's very recent, but I think that we are moving back to what would be normal. But specifically in relation to this project, I would support the staff's recommendation. I had the opportunity to be in some of this outreach, discuss with the team, and it's quite clear that extending the COVID period would be beneficial to the process. I think that Bruce mentioned that it's two projects. I think it is a three-in-one project. The guidance amendments to IS-19, amendments to IFRS-13, I mean, that for those companies that these standards are important, I mean, that these are very three-in-one project. And all stakeholders agree that this is a quite important project, a game changer. The proposal will bring a major improvement to the disclosure requirement in this standard, and they need more time to assess the proposal, specifically more time to do some field work to prepare a better response to the document. In summary, I support the staff's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Tadeo. Lika?
Yeah, thank you, Andreas. I echoed other board members said, I think I normally disagree with extending the comment period because we lose the momentum of the project. But I think this project is the reason we need to extend the comment period, because I think the issue that we want to solve in this project is more pervasive than just improving in IS-19 and IFRS-13's requirement. The feedback will affect our future standard setting of all other standards when we discuss the developing the disclosure requirement. So I really think it's quite important to test new approach in practice with the stakeholders to understand the operationality in practice. But in order to have effective feedback about the operationality, I really think it's quite important for us to encourage the stakeholder to understand the objective of project as well as the further new approach we are proposing, as well as ask them to look into the detail of the wording we included in the exposure draft. So all things together, I think the feedback will play a significant role in this standard setting process. And also to get better feedback from the investors, it's very important for us to share understanding of the practical implications when receiving the feedback from the investors. So I think it might take a little bit longer period than the usual project. And I also agree with the volume of the work at this moment for stakeholders. That is, Nick already mentioned, but I've noticed recent struggles and difficulties in practice to meet the deadline and pursuing the engagement in our project because of the overlap of a comment period and also the having the similar deadline of the projects. So in the future, we need to consider to try to reduce the overlap as much as possible.
Thank you, Rika. Jin Zhao, please.
Thank you, Andreas. Like others, I also share the similar concern that extending the comment period should not be new normal, or you know, I think it should be exceptional. But in relation to this project, it's unique. I think it's special because we develop a new approach in relation to the disclosure requirement, and also this new approach will not affect IS-19 and IFRS-13, but also will affect other IFRS standards. And as Nick said, that this new approach will also cause behavior changes. Actually, we expect behavior changes. And in order to test how the new approach would work, I think particularly national standard setters or other stakeholders need time to do field work. And some jurisdictions said that they could not finalize or complete the field work until September or October. And they would like to have their comment letter build on the outcome of those field work. So that means they really needed more time to prepare high quality comment letter to us. So in this regard, I think I agree with the staff's proposal to extend our comment period further to January 2022. Thank you.
Thank you, Jinzhao. And finally, Tom, please. Tom, you're still muted. Tom, do you want to probably reconnect and I can make a comment intermittently? So what I've heard, I think, from board members unanimously is a certain reluctance of letting this become the new normal. We understand the circumstances in this particular project, and there seems to be agreement that the extension is warranted. But there should really be signposting, I think, to the outside world in order not to create an expectation that we will go for 300 days as the new normal instead of the requested 120 days that we have in our due process handbook. I think we would also want to perhaps give some consideration to whenever we set comment periods in the future as to how much of that is really devoted to answering a conceptual piece, a conceptual question, and how much of that is actually related to fieldwork, effects analysis, things like that, that naturally take longer. And the question, can we detach the two in order not to for us to be held back in our work and continuing the momentum on a project while still getting that feedback? And I think that that is probably a more general consideration that we ought to be giving when we set comment deadlines. Tom, I see you are back.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Okay, so I was actually going to make a comment along what you've just said. So let me just echo that. In particular, there were a lot of twos in this. I think Tadeo talked about two in one project. Rika talked about more than just 19 and 13. We had both field work and common letters. So there's a two there. There was also, as Bruce said, there's two stages. There's sort of a sequential element. So what I was saying is, I agree we should be clear that this is not an everyday event. But the why is important, and we should incorporate it also into our planning, is to pre-identify when some of these twos will show up in a project and then act accordingly. So that was, but I think you were making, I missed part of your summary, I apologize.
That's all good. I think we are in agreement, but given that there is a formal question in the document, can I just see a show of hands of board members who agrees with the staff to extend in this circumstance?
We have 12 in favor.
Okay, thank you. And thank you, Catherine and Stefano, for teeing this up.
Andreas, can I ask something quickly?
Please.
Now I'm only logged in once, so my echo's gone away, self-inflicted, sorry about that. I'm so keen, Catherine, I wanted to hear twice. Andreas, given your comments about the hesitancy, do you think it would be good for the staff to go so far as to make an observation and update so that we have a formal recording of that sort of perspective rather than just voting, saying 290 days is great, which might be the message we'd sort of be delivering potentially otherwise?
I think that would be good. So to really have it on public record and visible for everyone, I think that would be worthwhile, absolutely. And I see nods by the team. Excellent. Okay. with that, we can close down that agenda paper and we go swiftly to primary financial statements.